Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship at St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church today. The worship folder, if you'd like to follow along, is found in several places on our church website, stpaulshowardsgrove.org, if you'd like to follow along with our worship today. And the focus today for our worship is about a tremendous miracle God has done, changing us, changing our blindness, and letting us see him for who he is, bringing light to our life, and making us light as well in the Lord. Let us begin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
As we come to God's house and as we worship him, the Lord wants us to be honest with him, and he wants us to bring him our sins and tell him all that's gone on in our lives this past week that we've struggled with and been wrong about. And so we talk about that here right away with the Lord. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all of your sin by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give us all now strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
And let us pray. Almighty God, the antidote to the darkness and dark times is your light. Give strength to all who are joined in your family to reject what erodes their faith and to follow your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
First lesson we have today is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and we're going to have verses from chapter 42. In this section, Isaiah, we're going back a ways, about 700 years before Jesus was born, He's first going to talk about a servant of the Lord that is coming and is going to be a tremendous miracle to God's people, going to bring light, going to do miracles, going to help them in their lives, especially to see the Lord. And then he's going to switch to a different servant, the people of that day, who reject the light and turn their own way and turn to their godless things. We read, "I've been silent for a long time. I've kept still. I've restrained myself, but now, like a woman giving birth, I will scream. I will gasp and pant. I will dry up mountains and hills. I will make all their grass wither. I will turn rivers into islands. I will dry up pools. I will lead the blind on a way they do not know, along paths they do not know. I will direct them. Ahead of them, I will turn darkness into light and rough places into level ground. These are the things I will accomplish for them. I will not abandon them. They will be turned back and completely disgraced. Those who trust in an idol, those who say to molten images, 'You are our gods.' You deaf ones, listen. You blind ones, watch carefully so that you can see. Who is as blind as my servant? Who is as deaf as my messenger whom I sent? Who is as blind as my associate, as blind as a servant of the Lord? You, Israel, see many things, but you do not observe. Israel opens his ears, but he does not hear. Because of his own righteousness, the Lord was pleased to make his law great and glorious." This is the word of our Lord. Service continues with a beautiful psalm, Psalm 27, giving us light.
Thank you.
The gospel lesson this morning is from John chapter 9. Recently, a couple months ago, went over to Jerusalem, saw the land of Israel for 10 days. One of the neat things was when our tour guide brought up this section, and he said, certainly this was a mighty miracle Jesus did on the Sabbath day, but it's more than that. What Jesus was saying when he took mud and when he placed it on the man's eyes, it wasn't just helping the man understand that he was going to do a miracle. It was Jesus helping the man understand that he was God. Because only God, back in Genesis 2, took from the dust and shaped man and woman. And here Jesus takes dust or dirt from the ground and reshapes the man's organs so that he's able to see. We see that miracle today. As Jesus was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that God's works might be revealed in connection with him. I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes. Go, Jesus told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. They brought this man who had been blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man told them. I washed, and now I see. Then some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others were saying, how can a sinful man work such miraculous signs? There was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? The man replied, he is a prophet. They answered him, you are entirely born in sinfulness, yet you presume to teach us, and they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. When he found him, he asked, do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he, sir? The man replied, that I may believe in him. Jesus answered, you have seen him, and he is the very one who is speaking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he knelt down and worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment, I came into this world in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind. This is the gospel of our Lord. And we continue with the next hymn. God's word that we consider this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, a letter of the Apostle Paul, and we read, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord and do not participate in fruitless deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things that are done by people in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes things visible. Therefore it is said, awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is God's word. That was the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Peter, who said, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and I'm going to add a few more this morning, to those scattered around Howard's Grove, in Cleveland, in Sheboygan, and Sheboygan Falls, and Kohler, and Plymouth, and to the great beyond of the internet. You know what? This is rather strange. I'm here, and you're not. And there are fewer than 10 people in the building, and the church is just about empty. We've got some people watching online live right now. We have people parked in our church parking lot who are listening, tuned into the radio station, listening in their cars to what's going on. You know what? I think I understand what the Apostle Peter must have felt, that when he was writing that letter of 1 Peter, he understood he was writing to somebody, that somebody was going to hear this, somebody was going to read this, but at the time he wrote or at the time I'm speaking, it really feels like you're talking to nobody. This is really strange. But it's nothing that God can't shed some light on. In fact, that's my prayer for all of us today. And really the theme of today's devotion. God, please put some light on the subject. And he does. God has. God does put light on the subject. In fact, he puts such a light on the subject for all of us today, giving us encouragement, but at the same time, it exposes spots that God wants us to see. And the first spot that God wants us to see is called the black spot. Did you know the black spot? The black spot is a literary term that Robert Louis Stevenson used in the late 1800s when he wrote the book Treasure Island, and he was talking about a character in that book called Billy Bones. Billy Bones was deathly afraid of getting the black spot. A pirate, he knew what the black spot meant. It meant that if somebody placed that in your hand, it meant judgment. It meant guilt. And the consequences of breaking the pirate code meant an imminent death. Billy Bones was deathly afraid of getting that black spot. But that black spot is a work of fiction. This next one is real. Did you know the black spot is actually a fungus? The black spot is a fungus that affects rose bushes worldwide. It's actually a pandemic right now. The black spot works through the leaves, one by one, going up that rose and affecting the whole thing. In fact, the black spot fungus is very hard to slow down and stop. It's very challenging. But there's another one. The black spot is actually something that gets dropped into water by birds, and it swims as a parasite in the water, and it attacks freshwater fish, working their way into the fish and then embedding itself under the skin and becoming a tremendous and big black spot. But there's a worse one. There's the one the Apostle Paul talks about in our lesson today. The black spot is a graphic and awful place of darkness that you and I used to be in because of sin. That black spot has factors of all of those prior black spots we mentioned. That black spot meant something so much more than social distancing. It meant spiritual distancing from God, because it was something that wormed its way in on the inside because of sin. It's something that's a pandemic that affects the whole world. It's something that brings terrible consequences into the lives of people. And it not just separates sinners from God, but it's something that separates a holy God from sinners. This is a tremendous and terrible black spot. And Paul says no more. Paul says it's not you anymore. He says very graphically, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That may have been where you were in the dark. That may have even been what you were, so closely aligned with the darkness. But it's not anymore who you are. Paul says so clearly, because of the light of God in Jesus Christ, you are light in the Lord. And that can only mean one thing. Certainly it means that your sins are forgiven. Certainly it means that God has shed his light on you so that you see his grace in all of its glory and what God has done for you. Certainly it means that he's connected you to Jesus Christ so that you know him intimately, so that everything he did in his life from his righteous incarnation all the way to his substitutionary death, the place where he paid for your sin, all the way to his resurrection from the dead. That's not just a resurrection from the germs of this life. Jesus rose from the place of death itself, and he connects you to it so that that resurrection is yours. Calling you light in the Lord, it's a term of complete positivity. There's nothing negative in this. There is no deficiency in the light that God has placed on you. But it means something more. Not only are you in the place where God forgives you, not only are you in Jesus Christ, but he says you are light in the Lord. This is now who you are. This is what you are. So closely connected and tied to Jesus Christ are you, to the light of the world, that God looks at you as that same light. In fact, there's no distinction between the Lord Jesus' light and the light that you now are. You are so intimately connected that it is one and the same light, so that you shine as that light. I mean, let that sink in. For people who are in good ways, being very guarded and careful about germs, for people who are keeping their distance, I mean, just imagine walking right now into a grocery store and somebody in the near proximity starts coughing and hacking and sneezing in your vicinity, you're going to take a step back or two. You're going to mind that space. God doesn't do that with you. God wasn't afraid of your darkness. God wasn't afraid to come close to you. God wasn't afraid to tackle your sin. God wasn't afraid of where you were, what you were aligned with. And instead, in love, he drew close to you and his son, Jesus Christ, and let the light of his love shine on you. And in that love, he drew you close to him. Strangers in a strange world, separated by so many things going on in the world right now, but not to God. And he lets his light again shine on you and wants you to contemplate the miracle of his majesty that still today draws you close to him and keeps you connected to him. What a miracle. God puts light on that subject for you to marvel at that light and grace. The second spot today that the light reveals is the blind spot. You know, maybe you are completely in line with the government's decisions this past week, week and a half. Maybe you think that everything the government has done at the local, state, and federal level makes good sense and is in line with wisdom. Maybe you have a little different opinion and you think there have been some missteps along the way and things could have been done a little bit better, a little bit differently. Maybe you're the kind of person who likes working from home. Maybe you're at the point already as a parent where you'd really like your kids to work at school again. Maybe you would just like to go down the road to the grocery store and be able to find toilet paper. Maybe you'd like to go to the grocery store and just find food on the shelves. And maybe you're just at that point of life today where you just like things to go back to the way they were, and you realize just how blessed we are. I've heard from God's people over the past week and a half all kinds of various opinions on all sides of a lot of these issues. God today puts light on this subject too. And what God wants for us today and every day going forward is that we walk together. And he says that very, very clearly. He says, walk as children of light. That's walk all of us. Walk as children of the light that God has now graced us with, that's made us his children. Walk together as children together in his light together, which means the focus, the goal, the sole focal point of our Christian life is that we look to the Lord, we look to his light, and we strive together to see what God says in his word, to walk in ways that are pleasing to him according to his good and gracious will. No matter where you are, whether at home, whether we get to come back to church soon, whether you get to go to the office yet, or whether your office is again in the home, whether you go to the grocery store, no matter where you are, it is the job of the Christian to never, ever reflect darkness. If you and I walk this week as children of our own opinions, if you and I walk this week as people who undermine God's good institutions of government, where we really could submit, if you and I run the way the world is running, whether we're not fearless at all because we don't think this is a problem, and we just run selfishly in our own direction, or if we run with other parts of the world that are very, very fearful right now and scared to death and don't know which end is up and what's going on, and they don't know where help is, we're not just running a different path. We're not just walking a different path. We're running the exact wrong way. We're running back to the darkness. We're running exactly against the way God wants us to go. And we're running a way that wants to divide. It wants to divide us from each other. It wants to divide us from the light of the Lord. And it wants to take us down and away from him. If this past week has done anything, I think it's made very clear that even in our Christian walk and life and faith, that there are blind spots. That there are nooks and crannies and corners where there are shadows, where there's still darkness that needs to be addressed. And in our Christianity today, there's still room for us as Christians to confess our darkness and our sins to the Lord and repent. Certainly, even God's people are going to have opinions. But those opinions don't unite. Those opinions don't draw us close together, but there is something that does. It's God's word. It's God's word that unites. It's God's word that draws us close. It's God's word that keeps us close. It's God's word that keeps our focus not on ourselves. It's God's word that puts the focus right where it's supposed to be, right on the Lord Jesus Christ, and keeps us going forward in him. It's the word that unites us to Jesus Christ and keeps us close. It's the word of God that sets the direction and the path for our steps to go. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. It's the Word of God that keeps us going in good, godly ways together. Apostle Paul said, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, and do not participate in the fruitless deeds of darkness." As we go forward together, guided by the Word together, the Word of God is going to continue to do miracles. In fact, it's going to do a miracle in you. It's going to produce fruit. It's going to produce results. God's Word is going to do exactly what it says, which means it's going to produce hope in you. It's going to produce hope for people to see in you. And right now, that's what they need to see. As we go forward together, walking together in God's Word, let's look what is pleasing to the Lord. Let's strive to do what is pleasing to the Lord. And let's avoid every single kind of sin and blind spot. The third thing that God puts His light on today and helps us see the third spot today is the bleach spot. The bleach spot is that spot in somebody else's life. It's that spot of sin. It's that stain. It's that unspiritual spot that desperately needs to be addressed. It's that spot that needs to be bleached. It needs to be sanitized. It needs to be sterilized. You know, according to the Word of God today, Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that you and I, as children of light, we have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility to expose those spots. We have a responsibility to make those spots extremely clear and visible and to put them in the light and to use the light of God's Word to do it. If our world right now, and rightly so, is taking seriously germs and we're very concerned about how they spread and where they go and how far they go because people's lives are important. If we're this concerned and we're willing to do all of this to our society just to stop the spread of germs, how much more so the spread of sin? And the spread of sin in all of its disgusting forms and ways, so that it doesn't spread to other people, so that it doesn't go far and wide and affect even the lives of Christians and turn people away from the Lord. Do you understand? You, Christian, you are the sanitizing agent. You are the spiritual disinfecting agent of your community. If this strangeness of being separated feels so weird, consider maybe why God spreads us so far and wide and God puts us in the places He does and why He pushes us so far out. Why would He do that? So that you get to be the light. So that you get to be the light in those places. So that you get to expose sin. So that you get to point out things that are going on and say, "This is not right." And let people see the light of God's Word. Certainly that means avoiding sin in our lives and staying away from it and practicing not just social distancing right now and staying 6 feet away, but it's staying completely away from sin. But even more than that, it is using the Word of God to point out sin and to let people see what is against God so that the light of God's love may shine on their life. That doesn't mean be a jerk. It doesn't mean be rude. It doesn't mean be obnoxious. That's not how God treated us. That's not how God treated us in our baptism. It's not how God treats us today when He tells us again our sins are forgiven. Christians are the light. God wants you to use this light of His Word in love to help people the way He's helped you. See the wonderful way God wants them to come to eternal life. Apostle Paul says, "Do not participate in fruitless deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things that are done by people in secret." meaning it's shameful to those people who are trying to get away with things in secret. It's shameful to those people to mention these things out loud and to have them exposed. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For strangers, in strange times, living in a strange world at this time, the light of God's word helps us through this strangeness. It's the light that helps us see the black spot in our own life and what God has done to eradicate it and bring us to the light of his love. God puts light on the subject by helping us see the blind spots in our walk and the way we want to go forward, and helps us eradicate those sins that still pester us today and turn away from them and repent from them and get together as God's people and to walk forward together. God still puts his light on the subject by leading us to be light in the world and to talk about sin and to address it and to bring the healing of his love and light to people's lives. God still puts light on the subject today with his word. God still puts light on the subject today with you. You are light. You are God's light in the world. God bless you as you hold out hope. God bless you as you treasure what he's done for you. God bless you as you continue to walk forward in him. God bless you as you continue to shine with all the light that you are and reveal Christ to a world that desperately needs it today. Amen. This time we join together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is a confession that the apostles didn't write, but it's a summary of what the apostles taught about the triune God and about the works of Jesus Christ. We join together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Normally at this time in our service would be the time for the offering, and I'd encourage you, as the Lord does, the Lord loves it when God's people bring an offering into his courts and worship him and show that they trust him even in tough times. You can use the QR code that is in the worship folder. You can go to PayPal and you can find us if you'd like to give a gift that way, or you can send something through the mail. At this time, you're still able to stop by and drop an offering off at the church if you would like. And thank you for doing so and blessing the ministry. This time we join together then for prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. By drawing us to you, you have made us your lights in the world. May we bless our homes, our places of business, and our communities. May we bear fruit and produce godly results, ones that put a smile on your face and reflects the hope that you've given to us. Lead us, Lord, to your word and guide us all by it. And lastly, lead us to use the light of your word to stop sin dead in its tracks, to expose it, and to reveal your gracious love for sinners. Heavenly Father, our brother Peter Prange has surgery coming up this week. Please watch over him before and during the operation. And Lord, please fill him with your light. Bring him through this safely according to your will and restore his health. We also pray for Pastor Charlie Hoyp from Good Shepherd in Plymouth. He continues to have ups and downs in his hospitalization. Lord, please put some light on this subject for him too and refresh him in your eternal love. As you so carefully shaped mud and reshaped a man's eyes in our gospel lesson today, Lord, our Creator, we ask you to use your power and reshape his health too. And we trust your will. Lord, as our country and world goes forward battling the coronavirus, we look to you and we look to your help. Bless our government and leaders in all of their endeavors. Give healing to the sick. Give help to those who are afraid of becoming sick. Keep your people safe. Open our eyes to see opportunities to still do good and to serve you. Hear us, Lord, right now as each of us brings to you our private prayers. We pray these things in your holy name as we now join to pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us, please, by your Holy Spirit, to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve your Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. At this time, we sing the closing hymn. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for worship today. I'd like to point out, those of you who've been struggling to view this through live stream, the service is having issues this morning, and likely because it's overloaded. There are a lot of places trying to do live stream, and so it was a little bit etchy in and out. The recording, though, for today's service was very, very good. It will be uploaded to YouTube, and you can watch that at any time after today. Starting probably late this morning already. I want to thank you for trying to join us and for joining us, God willing, later too. One other announcement I'd like to make is just thank you to all of the volunteers and servants behind the scenes. The few numbers who were able to make today happen, a lot of hard work went on behind the scenes to be able to do today and make today come about and to allow you really the opportunity to worship. So you know who you are. I'm not going to name names, but just want to issue thanks to everybody behind the scenes. And thank you, too, for trying to tune in and worship the Lord. As far as events going forward, it's really a day-to-day kind of situation. And we're going to send emails out as those updates come. So please continue to check faithfully our website and the things that we push out to Facebook. And if you have any questions, Pastor Bodie and myself stand ready to help as able and to counsel or to address whatever situations arise. And we would like to help people if they're in need. So please contact us that way, too, and for any prayer requests as well. Those are the announcements that I have. May God keep you safe, and may God bless each and every one of you. Take care.